This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
How's everyone?
الحمد لله. You good? As Muslims, we have to learn to smile. Yeah? It's going to be the first lesson. I could just drop the mic now and I think I would have done a great deal of service to Muslims in London if we just learned to smile. And hopefully tonight, inshallah ta'ala, by the time you leave, you'll have reason to smile when you understand your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a little better. First and foremost, I want to say Jazakumullah khairan for the invitation. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, he says, whoever does not thank people, then he is not thankful to Allah. So I have gratitude for being able to come out here and be with you brothers and realize that I'm just one of you. You know, whatever bio they try to give you or trump up, they try to put on the posters about me, I'm a simple, humble Muslim just like you, no more knowledgeable than you. But the thing I do is that I try to share what I know with others to try to help them. And I'm not a teacher, unless you want to learn some martial arts. That's my profession. My tijara is I own martial arts businesses in the States. So if you want to learn how to defend yourself, I can teach you that. I'm a psychologist. This is what I studied in secular college, or psychology. And I'm also doing my master's in Islamic psychology. So I try to get into your mind. This is what I want to do. If I can just change the way that you think, then I don't necessarily have to teach you so much. But if I retrain the way that you think about your deen, the way you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way you think about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sunnah, the way you think about the world, then the rest, when you learn, it'll be put in its right place. Put in its right place. You know, there are a lot of things that Muslims are good at. We're good at certain things. And we've been known through history to be good at certain things. Unfortunately, when I travel around the world now, and alhamdulillah Allah has blessed me in the past decade that I've been able to put my feet on every continent on this planet, except for Antarctica. No Muslims there to go and talk to. If Antarctica becomes habitable because of global warming, oh, we'll find a place. We'll immigrate there and we'll open up businesses and we'll put masjids. That's just what we do. But until then, inshallah ta'ala, I've stuck to where there are people. And I've spent time with the Ummah all over the world, in the Muslim countries, in the West, in the subcontinent, in Southeast Asia, in Australia. And there's one thing that I have seen over the past decade we have become particularly good at. If there were a global award given out for it, we would probably win it the past 15 years running easily. You know what award that is? For complaining. For complaining. We as Muslims are very good at complaining. We do it so much that we don't even think about it sometimes. We will find the easiest and most simple thing and complain about it. And argue about it and bicker about it and be upset about it and protest about it and sign petitions. We're very good at this type of thing. Very, very good. And when you live that type of lifestyle, where you are constantly complaining and constantly looking for the negative, you'll find it. You'll find it. This is the way the human mind works. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, Allah is as you perceive Him to be. Meaning that if you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as angry and vicious towards you, this is how you will create a reality for yourself. You'll behave in this type of manner. You'll behave in this type of manner. But those who see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as forbearing and merciful and gentle and patient will find that joy and happiness that they seek. And then the best of those will find a position in between the two. They will know that Allah is merciful and gentle and patient and forbearing, but then they will also understand, yes, that He is the most stern in punishment, and he has the most serious torment waiting for those who disobey and disbelieve in him in the hereafter. So they find themselves between those two. So what I want to try to get tonight is, I want you to ask yourself this question today and every single day of your life. If you want to do one thing that could change your perception of the world, your reality, every single day, is ask yourself, what do I have to be grateful for today? What do I have to be grateful for? Because if you wanted to know what you have to complain about, that list will be very long every single day. Every single day. Every single day. But if you look for that which you have to be grateful for, you will find that your time will be too busy counting the favors of Allah. And you won't have time to complain. You won't have time. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you were to try to count my favors, you'd be unable to do so. Because they are endless. When Dawood alayhi salam, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something, in response, it was very beautiful. He wanted to understand how much favor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him. So he asked Allah, show me the least of your favors. He wanted to understand this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, take a breath, breathe. He took a deep breath and Allah responded and said, that is the least of my favor to you. That's the least of my favors to you. The very fact that you breathe. So if we begin with that, then the list would grow very large if we had to be grateful for. A lot of this that I'm going to give you tonight, I'm not going to try to overload you with information, because I also know that we have an aptitude to catch the first 5 minutes of a lecture, memorize that, then we'll maybe catch the last 5 minutes. Everything in between becomes kind of a gray area. A gray area. So, there's beautiful books written by contemporary ulama, as well as the ulama of the past, about gratitude. One of the most deep intellectual, psychological of them was written by Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala, when you're Udud al-Sabirin wa Dhakad al-Shakirin. He wrote a very beautiful book about patience and gratitude, saying that these two things, if the human being and the Muslim in specific can learn patience and gratitude, they would have most of what they need to live a beautiful life in this life and enter into a beautiful life in the next life. And he gave so many stories and evidences that some we'll go through tonight. But again, I'm going to try to keep it short and concise. Because what I want you to do is leave with something you can use. I don't want to give you too much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Every time I even think about that verse, just that first phrase, it's something that would be enough for the Muslim to be grateful for the rest of their life. You could spend the rest of your life busying yourself with remembering this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember me, I'll remember you. I mean, it's astounding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, each and every one of us, if you remember me, I will remember you. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you that if you remember me, and it doesn't matter how many people are doing it all together, all over the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this ability, that if you remember me, I will remember you. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, whoever remembers Allah in a small gathering, Allah remembers them in a gathering that is greater than that. Meaning amongst the angels that surround this throne. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that a person starts doing good, and they do good to the extent to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to love them. And then when Allah begins to love him, he says to those around his throne, I love so and so, calling them by name. Allah mentions their name. And so you love them. And then that those angels will pass it on to the angels down in rank and down in rank and down in rank, that Allah loves so and so, so you love them. And then those angels in lowest rank pass it on down to all of the living things on this earth, until the entire creation begins to love that person. SubhanAllah. This was the love of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had. He had that love toward even trees. He used to cry when he wouldn't stand next to them anymore. He had a tree that he used to give a khutbah next to in his masjid, one of the trunks of the roof. Then a woman came and suggested that he build some stairs so that the
sisters in the back could hear him. He did so. The first Friday, he didn't stand next to that tree began to cry. So much so that all the companions heard it. And he came down from his minbar and he went and he consoled that tree. You see, this was the amount of love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon his messenger. The entire creation loved him. There were people like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has boundless and countless favors for those who remember him and who strive to do good towards him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ, and be grateful to me, and do not become kafur, ungrateful. Kafur, the word ingratitude that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in his book is kafur, kafara, from the very same root word of kafir, of disbeliever, because someone who disbelieves is not in reality doing anything but denying the truth, rejecting the truth. There's no such thing as a, and I've covered this quite clearly on other occasions, no such thing as a pure atheist. There's no such thing. Because you are denying something. There was no one who was born as a child and the first things they began to speak were the fact that there is no God. This is something they learned, or that was brought upon by some coincidences or circumstances in their life that caused them to reject the fact of a creator. Maybe because of the injustice, maybe because something bad happened to them. There's no pure atheism. And I'd be willing to debate that fact. There's no such thing as pure atheism. The fact that you even have to debate it is the simple fact that you have to have an argument to deny the existence of the creator of all things. So this word kafur, ingratitude, is when someone becomes ungrateful for the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it as a command to be grateful to him and do not become ungrateful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, وَشْكُرُ لِلَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ, and be grateful to Allah if it is him that you worship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is equating ibadah with gratitude. That if it is me that you really worship, then you'll show me gratitude. Another word for gratitude in the English language is tribute. When you pay tribute to something, when you give tribute, is to show gratitude for that thing which you have given tribute to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking you not just to be thankful to him, but to give tribute to him in your life. Meaning that you live a life that shows that gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you are thankful. This is why I do not understand why Muslims can only complain and frown all the time. Why do we look so angry all the time? Yes, there's plenty to be angry about. Sure, there is. Our Prophet ﷺ went through more than you. He went through more than all of us together. Yet he never, ever was seen without a smile on his face. He never passed anyone without smiling at them. He would become angry for the right reasons, yes. But in his daily life, he would smile at everyone. So, this is a life showing that he had something that made people want what he had. How can we live in a society like the West, where we're supposed to be representatives of the deen of al-Islam, we're supposed to be representatives of the greatest human beings of all, the face of this earth. We say we have the truth. We say we have the most perfect way of life for mankind. Yet we walk around as if we're on the footstep of death every single day. Even though you may be, doesn't mean you have to act like it. Doesn't mean you have to act like they're about to come to your house and arrest you today. Alhamdulillah, they do keep smiling. You see, this is the beauty of al-Islam, is that we have something that we should show in a manner that would make other people want to know, what is it that you have that makes you like this? Why? What is it about you that they are talking about you guys on the news constantly? They're constantly spreading Islamophobia. They're constantly spreading bigotry. They're constantly spreading hatred towards you. Yet you still walk around smiling as if you're living the most beautiful life on this planet. What is that special gift? That gift is Iman. That is the sweetness of Iman, that once you taste it, it can never leave your mouth. You can't forget that taste, and you will always come after it. You know, and this is a class that I also teach called the Psychology of Iman. For drug addicts, alcoholics, they get this taste for that particular drug. They get this taste that there's a... They're always chasing that first high. They're always chasing that first high. They're always chasing that first drunken state again. They want to relive that moment because of the intensity of its feeling. So they're always chasing it. And there's something in the brain that triggers that. There's a chemical process that goes on with the way the dopamine and other things in our brain form together that makes us want to have that same type of gratification again and again and again and again. For the believer, that's the way the taste of the iman should make you feel. You should always be chasing that iman high. This was the companions, they chased after that. And they worried when they didn't feel it. There was a companion named... just left my mind. Abu Bakr met him. If you remember his name, just remind me. Abu Bakr met Hanbala. His name was Hanbala, Rabbi Allahu Anhu. Abu Bakr saw him one day on the street in Medina. And he said, Salaamu alayhi ya Hanbala. And Hanbala responded back to him, stay away from me, nafaqa Hanbala, I have become a hypocrite. Stay away from me, I have become a hypocrite. Save yourself from my hypocrisy. So Abu Bakr was saying, SubhanAllah, what are you talking about? He said, when we're with the Messenger of Allah, I feel this intense iman. So much so that if he talks about Jannah, it's as if I see it. If he talks about hellfire, it's as if I can feel it burning my face. But when I go home to my family and I'm spending time with my children and away from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I don't feel like that anymore. So this increase and decrease of my iman, I'm a hypocrite. Abu Bakr said, SubhanAllah, if this is hypocrisy, I'm a hypocrite too. Been through the same thing. So they went to the Prophet ﷺ and they told him what happened. And he smiled at them. And he laughed. He said, it's nothing. He said, iman rises and falls. Iman goes up and it comes down. It does. Iman rises and falls. So we have to understand that we're always trying to chase after that. Have that certain level of iman. Iman is like a muscle. If you don't work at it, it gets weak. It gets weak and it becomes useless to the individual who possesses it. Just like your muscles, if you don't use them, they turn to jelly. The more you exercise them, the more you work them, the stronger they get. The more they can do, the bigger lifting they can do. This is iman. The stronger it gets, the more you can do, the more sin you can repel, the more good deeds you are able to do. So this iman is something that must constantly be worked on. I see some brothers, you know, they're buff, mashallah. That means they've spent time working on this body. What about the iman? What about the soul that's going to go with you into the grave and into the akhirah? Are you spending any time working that out? That body, I don't care how buff you get it, mashallah, it's going to die. It's going to die and it's going to decompose. Within a matter of months, it's going to be gone, nothing but bones. So what about that soul that is going to continue to live? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, that every soul will taste death. The soul just tastes death. But then it continues to live on. So we have to work on that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala categorizes all of humanity into two groups. Right? You have believers, people of Iman. This is all of us, inshaAllah ta'ala. And you have disbelievers. There is no third category. There's no third category. There isn't. Disbelievers fall into many categories. You have many different religions and many different types of groups, but they all fall under disbelief. Iman, there's one group. One group. Those who say, La ilaha illallah. That's it. All people, two categories. But Allah also puts all people into two other categories. All people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna hadaynahu sabeel. Verily I have shown them my way. I have shown them my way. So that what? Imma shakara. Whether they will be grateful, wa imma kafura. Or whether they will become ungrateful. So Allah says all human beings also fall into two categories. I have shown them my way. I have given them everything they need for guidance now to see whether they will be grateful for that or they will become ungrateful for it. Unfortunately, you will find some people in this category of La ilaha illallah. They will also fall into the category of ingratitude. The category of ingratitude because they've been given guidance. They have been shown the right way. They maybe grew up knowing who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was. Grew up hearing the Qur'an every single day. But yet they live a life that is not in gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and paying tribute to that guidance which they have been given. Unfortunately, a lot of people in this category, this iman category, fall into that category of ingratitude. Of ingratitude. Because we don't live a life like that. I want you to think about something for a moment. If you are living right now, you are breathing, your heart is beating, your lungs are working, your kidneys are functioning, your liver is doing its job, and you can say La ilaha illallah, then you have everything to be grateful for. If you can wake up every morning and the first thing that comes out of your mouth can be La ilaha illallah, then know that that is a gift given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you didn't deserve. You didn't deserve, you didn't earn that. Allah gave it to you as a ni'mah to you. So you deserve in return to live a life of gratitude and tribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the rest of that day. You have something to be grateful for. Even if it was just for the simple fact that you woke up and you could still form the statement La ilaha illallah, you have enough to spend the rest of the day repaying that. That would be enough for you to spend the rest of your day giving service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through everything that you do. Trust me, believe me. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something very beautiful and scary about the way Allah deals with those who are grateful and the manner and tone in which He speaks to them in the Qur'an, and also in the manner and tone and way He speaks to those who are ungrateful. They're so contrastly different that anyone who even begins to pay attention would see the gap between the two, that there is a chasm between the two areas of gratitude and ingratitude. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَنْ شَكَرَ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِلنَّفْسِ. Whoever is grateful, then verily he is grateful to his own benefit. He is grateful for his own benefit. Whoever is grateful, that gratitude, you're not giving anything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to understand that's part of our aqeedah, is that no amount of worship that we do will increase Allah in the least. In the least. His dominion cannot be increased by your gratitude. It's for your own benefit. And the same respect, even if everyone on earth disbelieved, it would not reduce Allah's dominion or power or capability in the slightest. This is reality. So if you are grateful to Allah, then it is for your own benefit. You are doing, not only are you showing a tribute to Allah, you are showing tribute to your own life. I'm doing myself good. I'm benefiting me. I have to understand that. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ رَبِّي غَنِيٌّ كَرِيمٌ. But whosoever is ungrateful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't even address them directly. See the difference here. Allah doesn't even address them directly. Whoever is ungrateful, Allah, then know your Lord is free of need. He's rich, doesn't need it. And He is, but I also want you to see that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always overcomes His torment and His punishment, His wrath. The mercy is always there. The door is always, even to the worst of disbelievers, the door is always cracked open. Because Allah says that He is Kareem. Reminding that He is Kareem. Even though you have rejected Him, even though you are ungrateful to Him, even though He doesn't need you, or need your gratitude, or need your worship, or need anything from you, by telling you that He is Ghani, He is also reminding you that He is Kareem, that He is forbearing, and He is merciful, and all of the things that Kareem means, leaving that door open for you to come back. Subhanallah. This is why understanding the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more than just memorizing it. It's more than just memorizing it. There's so much subtlety to the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us, that even within the tone, even within the way that Allah addresses us, many lessons can be derived and learned and understood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when dealing with the people of Musa, you see, we can learn a lot about gratitude and ingratitude from Bani Israel. A lot. They swung very far on both pendulums when it came to gratitude and ingratitude. There were times when they were truly grateful to Allah, and Allah blessed them for it. And there were times where they were extremely ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He put them through intense difficulties for it. Up until this day, they have remained ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore Allah has left His adab on them no matter where they go. Trust me, your boycotting Israel is not going to do as much damage as the adab that Allah has already placed upon them if they don't return to Him. Believe that. As a real quick side note, I see a lot of Muslims, you know, screaming and yelling, and the travesties that happen in Palestine are unspeakable. Some of the things that we've seen, unspeakable. Wallahi, it's heartbreaking. I'm a father, I have three children. Some of the things I've seen are inhumane is not even the right word for it. Just soulless, the way that the people behave towards other human beings. Forget about Muslim, non-Muslim, Muslim, Jew. This reality, inhumanity. But we also have to look at the big picture. This is something Muslims have a problem with these days. We are very tunnel vision. We can only see the here and now and what's happening right in front of us. We don't see the big picture. The big picture is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests this ummah. He tests those who say they believe. And sometimes what we might see as a travesty, in reality could be a blessing. Do you think that those who are slain for the sake of Allah alone have any complaints about the way they died? Do you think they do? No, they have no complaints. None. The Prophet ﷺ said, those who die in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their souls are transported into the heart of green birds that fly around Jannah wherever they wish, and they make their home and their resting place in lamps that hang off the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every day Allah azza wa jal greets them. Every day He asks them, can I give you more? What do you want from me? Please tell me, I want to give you more. What do you want? And so many times He will ask them till they get so not tired of being asked, but in the realization that unless we tell Allah something, He's not going to stop asking. So they respond that if Allah, you could give us anything, it would be to send us back to the world in which you brought us out from and allow us to die the same death again and again and again and again. They have no complaints. In reality, they met a death better than many of us are going to meet. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the highest ranks in Jannah that they deserve. But we need to sometimes look at the bigger picture. The bigger picture of what's going on. We all should know about the Ashrat al-Sa'ah, the signs of the last day, the major battle that will take place between the Muslims and Bani Israel. They'll all be gathered in one place when this battle takes place. How do you think they're going to be gathered in one place? They're all being drawn to this eventual end. So sometimes Muslims, we have to look at the bigger picture, that the plan of Allah is perfect. Our plans are always going to be flawed because they come from human beings and our minds, are flawed. We are imperfect creatures. But Allah's plan, that which is out of our control, that which we have no control over, which is the plan of Allah, قَدْرُ اللَّهِ وَمَشَعَفَرُ, whatever Allah wills, He does, that plan is perfect. And sometimes we just can't understand it. So we complain about it. Sometimes we just need to sit back and realize that Allah's plan is in motion. We just need to relax. Let me tell you something about Allah's plan that sometimes we don't understand. There was a woman at the time of Dawood alayhi salam. And this woman was a knitter by trade, and she was poor. She was very poor, miskina. She used to knit every single day and take her knitting to the market and sell it and get enough food to feed her children for that day. She came into Dawood alayhi salam one day and she asked him, is Allah just or is He unjust? Now this was a very shocking question for Dawood alayhi salam. Of course Allah is just. Why do you ask this question? She said, I knit every day, I sell it in the market and I feed my children. Today when I was on the way to the market, a bird came and swooped my knitting and took off. Now I have nothing to feed my children. Is Allah just or is He unjust? Explain this to me. How would you explain this to this woman? You're saying that Allah is just, but now this this bird that is, you know, controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just come and just taking her sustenance. While she was speaking, a group of men came in with big bags of gold and they dropped it in front of Dawood alayhi salam. And they were not from that area. And they said, this is for you as sadaqah for Allah to whomever you believe as you wish. So he asked them, why are you bringing this to me and you're dropping this off? They said, we are sea merchants. We're merchants. We travel across the sea, trading. And a huge storm came when we were on the way here. Huge storm came. And part of our ship, the mast, the sail was broken. And we thought that we were going to die. So we made dua to Allah that if Allah can bring us out of this catastrophe, we will donate everything we have on the ship for His sake. They said, just as we finished making dua, a bird came along and dropped some yarn and thread and knitting materials and allowed us to mend our sail to bring us here to you. So we are fulfilling our oath to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and giving you this sadaqah. Dawood alayhi salam smiled and he looked at the woman and he asked her, is Allah just or is He unjust? You have a Rabb who is working for you on land and at sea. Is Allah just or is He unjust? And He gave the woman all. You see, sometimes we can't see the plan of Allah. It's happening, but we don't see it. We become very tunnel vision, thinking that we need to control everything. Brothers, you can't control everything. Sisters, you can't control everything. What's within your control, you handle that and do it to the best of your ability. When you see that something's out of your control, know that hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is sufficient for us and He's the best of protectors. One little small other story and then we'll continue. There was a man named Abu Bakr al-Ansari, rahimahullah alayh, from the salaf of this ummah. He's a man who was known for his piety. Known for his piety. And he said that he was known as Qadi al-Maristan as well. He's famously known as. He said that one day he was hungry in Mecca. Hungry, very hungry. So he was out in the streets looking for food. You know, trying to find something to eat. And he found a bag with a pearl necklace in it. I'm not going to go into the minor details because I want to get through. Pearl necklace, beautiful, expensive pearl necklace is in this bag. But it didn't belong to him, so he tied it up and he took it home and he went back out looking for food. Later on, as he was looking, he heard a man calling out that I have lost a necklace and if anyone has found it, please let me know. So he went and got the man and said, I found the necklace, but you need to describe it to me so that I know it's yours. The man described it perfectly. So he went, and the man was offering a reward for whoever found this necklace. So he went and got the necklace and gave it to the man, and the man tried to pay him his reward. But Abu Bakr refused. He said, no, I haven't earned this. He didn't feel right about taking it. He didn't feel right about taking it. He said, no, I've not done anything but return to you what belongs to you. I don't deserve anything for this. And they fought about it. You know how we fight about it. No, yeah. Finally, he just said, no, I'm not taking it, and he left. He said, after a period of time, he realized he couldn't live in Mecca anymore. You know, he'd been there for a while, couldn't live there anymore. So he decided to go search another place, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that His world is expansive. If you can't survive one place, go someplace else. So he got on a boat to go to somewhere else. And a big storm came and this boat crashed and smashed, and many people died. But he said, I was able to hold on to a piece of the ship and the wind blew me to an island. When I got to that island, I looked for the people and I couldn't find them. So he saw a masjid and he went to the masjid. And he sat down and he started to recite Al-Qur'an. And his qira'at was very beautiful. The people of the town heard this man reciting. They came into the masjid and they said, we've never heard recitation like this. Will you teach us to recite and our children to recite and we'll pay you. We'll give you a place to live. So he started to pay them, give them place to live, and he lived there for a while. Then one day they saw him reading from some pages that were in the masjid from the Qur'an. And they said, you know how to read and write? He said, yes, none of them knew how to read and write. So they said, teach us how to read and write, we'll pay you even more and we'll increase your salary. So he began to teach them how to read and write. Eventually he realized that he'd been here long enough, he wanted to move on, and the people realized that he was going to leave. So they decided to keep him. The way they were going to keep him, they said, let's get him married, one of ours. Get him married, he's not going nowhere, locked down. So they went and got this girl who had been orphaned. She was an orphan, she had no wali. And he first refused because he realized they're just trying to keep him there. Then the whole haggle went back and forth. Finally he broke down and said, okay, I'll marry this girl. So the nikah was prepared. And they brought the woman to him. And he said, as he began to look up from the ground, he saw her feet, he went up. And when he got to her neck, he couldn't go any farther. And he started to cry. And the girl was so sad. Because she thought that he thought that she was ugly. So she turned and ran. Thought she was ugly. And the people thought this was what was going on. They were saying, what is wrong with you? You know? What kind of manners do you have? This is one of our best women. Come from the best family. And you just disappointed her by thinking that she's ugly. He said, no. I didn't think she was ugly. He said, on her neck, I saw something that I recognized. The necklace she had on her neck, she said, I've seen this necklace before. I found it in the streets of Mecca one day. And I gave it to an old man and returned it to him. The people started saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. They said, the man whom you gave that necklace to was this girl's father, who recently passed away. And we used to hear him talk about this man he met in Mecca that was one of the most pious and righteous Muslims he had ever known. And we used to hear him openly making dua to Allah for one day to you to be married to his daughter. And here you are today. That man's dua was answered. You see, Abu Bakr didn't realize that all of this was happening to him in a response to the dua of this man. The plan was being put into motion. He ended up getting married to her. They had children. They lived a very long life. She died. His children died. He ended up selling the necklace for a large amount of money. And he was telling his story of how he became a wealthy man at this place. You see, sometimes the plan doesn't make sense. I'm sure when he was being tossed about in the ocean, he didn't think that Allah is bringing him to this island for this, you know, beautiful plan that Allah had. But Allah's plan is perfect. We just have to trust it. We don't have to trust the plan. We don't always have to trust the plan because we can make many plans. Makarul makarullah. We plan and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of those who plans. We might not always trust the plan. It might be hard sometimes because things are happening. But one thing I can guarantee you is you can always trust the planner. You can always trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to learn that sometimes things aren't always as they seem. How many times have you heard that before? Things aren't always as they seem. That's the reality of this life. Things are not always what they seem. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts this ummah through intense hardship and difficulties and breaks us down to our lowest point in order to give us victory and give us honor. He did it to the companions time and time again. He did it to this ummah time and time again. They trusted the plan though, and they kept moving forward. And one thing you know that they didn't do, they didn't complain the way we complain. Let me tell you about some people who did complain. We might go a few minutes over if that's okay, inshallah. Some people who were also very good at complaining was Bani Israel. Really good at complaining. You know, Allah freed them from the trials of Fir'aun. You think that we see trials with a few children dying here and there, 1,000 people dying here and there? Bani Israel went through some trials. Fir'aun was slaughtering their children by the thousands. And it wasn't an accident, or it wasn't because of collateral damage or drowning at sea. He was murdering them. Imagine that being put into the minds of all of these people going through that type of difficulty. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them through the miracle of Musa alayhi salam and splitting the sea, and they came across and Fir'aun was drowned. But then we know the story of they ended up being wandering in the desert because they disobeyed Allah again. So they wandered and they wandered. But even then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still favored them. Clouds would follow them in the open desert where most of them would have burned and died of heat stroke or dehydration. The clouds followed them. When they were thirsty, Allah caused water to come up from the ground, 12 springs. When they were hungry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down bread from the sky. But they got tired of that. They got tired of the bread. Yeah? Imagine sitting around thinking, what's for lunch? Bread. Water. What's for dinner? Bread and water. It's for dinner next week, bread and water. That's it. We're eating bread and water and that's it. Even though it was a direct miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they got tired of it. So they went to Musa alayhi salam and said, can you ask Allah to send us some garlic, some lentils, you know what I mean? A little something to spice it up. You know what I mean? A little something. How did they even know what those things were, those vegetables? Because they used to have them. They were remembering things that they had when they were slaves. You understand that mentality? That's like being in prison. And starting to like prison food so much that you come home and you start getting craving for it. Man, I like that. You know? That slot they gave them in prison, it's a weird psychology, but this is how they behaved. So Allah started to send them quails and other things, and they still complained. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa to tell them something. He said, tell them something. Just remind them of something. First of all, he said, tell them to remember the days of Allah. Remember the days when Allah saved you. Remember that. Remember when you were being slaughtered by the thousands. Remember when you were slaves and you had nothing and Allah freed you from it. Now you're complaining because you know, not enough luxury, you don't have enough. This is almost how we are. Allah will give us everything and then we'll complain for the things that we don't have. We'll complain for the things that we don't have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Tell them, remember the favors of Allah upon them. Remember that. And these are people who are wandering in the desert. They have no home. But Allah is still telling Musa to remember. Tell them, remember the favor of Allah upon you. Remember the favor of Allah upon you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَا. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَا. Then make it proclaimed amongst them. تَأَذَّنَا is like news. Spread the news. There are many words that we can use for news. أَعْلَنَا. أخبر, many things to describe news. But Allah says, تَعَذَّنَا. The word تَعَذَّنَا coming from the root, the same as the ear, أذن, meaning that something which will stick with you. Tell them this which should stick in their ears. They should remember it every day. Tell them to never forget this. Never forget this. And then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are grateful to me, I'll give you more. And look the way that it is phrased. Allah says, if you are grateful to me, in the past tense, meaning that even if you're just grateful once, or if you're just grateful sometimes, or if you're just grateful, then I will give you more in the present tense and future tense. I'll give you more, meaning I will continue to increase you. Just be grateful to me and watch me open the door. Watch me open the door. And Allah did eventually open the door for them. Open the door for them. With Yusha alayhi salam, you open the door for them after Musa. So Allah is telling Musa, tell them, make it proclaimed amongst them to never forget this. If you are grateful to me, I will give you more. So what do you think will happen if you're ungrateful? Look at the way Allah speaks again. Here it's so beautiful the way Allah is addressing those who are grateful. Allah says, but look at also how He's speaking to those who have ingratitude. وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٍ. Allah doesn't even speak to him again. Allah does not even address them directly again. He doesn't say, if you are ungrateful, I will punish you. Because people who show ingratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after all He has given them do not deserve that direct address. Allah says, if you are ungrateful, then know that the punishment of your Lord is severe. That's all He says. Know the punishment of your Lord is severe. Not even giving them direct reference. Look at the two differences. Allah says, if you're grateful to me, I'll give you more. So if you want more in your life, you want increase, you want Allah to bless you more and more, be grateful for what you have now. Even if it's very little, be grateful, Allah will give you more. If you have a lot and you're grateful, Allah will give you even more. Nowhere have I ever read in Al-Quran or in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ the commandment to be poor. There are benefits to the poor, and they will have an easy day of judgment because they don't have a lot to be questioned about. They will be some of the first to enter into Jannah because their list of questioning is very short. But nowhere does it command you to be poor. If Muslims are not affluent, if we are not successful, how could we ever present to the world that we deserve to be in leadership? Or we deserve to have your respect and you should try to be like us? How would that even be possible if we didn't have anything? We didn't have anything. We look at the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Both aspects are shown in his Khilafah. The earlier part of his Khilafah, there was such a famine in Medina that he had to stop the cutting off the hand of the thief because people were stealing out of necessity. Towards the end of his Khilafah, subhanallah, so much money was coming into the Ummah that he established the Bayt al-Ma'arif, the general welfare of the Muslims, and it wasn't long before it was too full for anyone to take it. No one wanted any more money. No one was trying to take any more money. Subhanallah. And the braces of Kisra were presented to him, and he presented them to what's the companion's name? Suraqah ibn Malik. He presented the braces. That's another story I'd love to tell you about the plan of Allah that you don't understand. We don't have time for that one. Suraqah ibn Malik was given the braces of Kisra during the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab. So Allah took them to both places. Look at the Khilafah of Uthman ibn Affan, the affluence of this Ummah had. Uthman was a man who was known to not even wear a thobe twice. He would wear a qamis and then give it away and wear another one, have another one made. This was how much he had it like that. But every time the Prophet ﷺ stood up and asked for people to give, you would find people like Abu Bakr, Umar, or Uthman be the first to jump up and give everything that they have, half of what they had. They would compete with each other in it. So we have to understand that. They were grateful to Allah for what they had. Therefore Allah gave them more and more and more and more. And He continued to increase them. He continued to increase them. Also the Prophet ﷺ said, whosoever is not grateful to Allah in the small things, then he will not be grateful in the big things. If you don't learn to be grateful to Allah for the small things, then you will not be able or have the capabilities to be grateful for the big things. You see, some of us wait for the big things to show gratitude. To show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask yourself in your life, when is the last time you even made a sajda out of gratitude for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just to thank Him? When? This was a habit of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. When Allah would grant them something, they would make sajda out of gratefulness and gratitude to Him. When is the last time you ever did that? And how much has Allah given you in the meantime? And continue to give you even though you have not shown gratitude. This is the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're done in 2 minutes. The Prophet ﷺ told Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and we all know how much the Prophet, he had an attachment to Mu'adh. He loved Mu'adh a lot. He gave him certain attention and responsibilities and things of that nature. One day, he told something to Mu'adh that Mu'adh gave him such intense happiness. He said, "Oh Mu'adh, by Allah, I love you." I mean, imagine hearing this out of the mouth of the Prophet ﷺ. Him telling you, not just saying, "I love you," but swearing by Allah. "By Allah, I love you. By Allah, I love you. And since I love you, I'm going to give you something." After every salah, I want you to say to Allah, "Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatika." Oh Allah, help me to remember you, to be grateful to you, and to worship you in the most beautiful way. The beauty of this statement. He said, after every salah, ask Allah for this ability, for 3 things. Number one, to remember you. Help me to remember you. And then along with remembering Allah comes gratitude. When you remember Allah, you're grateful. You become grateful. These come hand in hand. Remembrance of Allah brings gratitude. And along with gratitude, then you will learn to worship Allah in the best way possible. The best way possible. SubhanAllah. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, said that there are 2 types of grateful people. And then we'll wrap it up, inshaAllah. There are 2 types of grateful people. There is the shakir and the shakur. And these 2 are not the same. Both are good. This is something Ibn al-Qayyim was able to do, and this is what I love about reading his books. He was able to take something beneficial and stretch the benefit out even farther and get deeper into it. It's the psychology of Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahimahullah ta'ala. This is why he was known as the Imam of the Heart. He said there is the shakir who is grateful when Allah gives them. They're grateful when Allah gives them. And that's usually only when they're grateful to Him. But that's okay. They're grateful when Allah gives them, they show gratitude. Every time Allah favors them, they show Him gratitude. And they're thankful to Him for it. And alhamdulillah for that. He said, but there is the shakur that is grateful even when he's not given. And even when Allah takes, he's grateful. Even when Allah puts him in the trials, he's grateful. Even when Allah puts him through hardship, he's grateful. Even when Allah puts him through misery, he's still grateful. And that is the shakur. That is the one who holds a special place with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He shows that type of gratitude. Like there was a man who had a lot of wealth. Him and his friend were both very wealthy, and Allah started to take from him. And all through it, he would always praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would thank Allah. Even so much that Allah even took the bed he slept on. He ended up with nothing. And he's still praising Allah. And his friend, who was still rich, is looking at him like, "What do you have to be grateful for? What is left for you to be grateful for?" He responded to that man, "I have something to be grateful for, which if you ask me to trade it for all the riches in the world, I will trade it." He said, "What?" He said, "I have eyes, ears, 2 arms, 2 legs. I have everything I need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I have him grateful for that." You see, this is the shakur who understands the reality that Allah gives and Allah takes away. Like Ayyub alayhi salam. He was taken and taken and taken, but all through it all, he still showed gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was what Ayyub is praised for, his patience, his gratitude to Allah through the hardship. You see, this ummah needs to learn that. This is a lesson we need to learn, and we need to learn it quickly. That even though Allah seems to have putting us through trials and tribulations, it has to be for a reason. There is wisdom behind it. There is a knowledge base behind it. Allah knows what He's doing. Our job is only to react within those parameters. We cannot set the conditions. Conditions are set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we can set is how we react and how we respond and how we behave in them. How we behave in them. And right now, we're acting like, you know, a caged wild animal. Put a wild animal in a cage, they go crazy. Start acting just like you expect them to act. A wild animal caged. And we respond the exactly the way that has been designed for us to respond. They poke, we roar. They poke, we scream and shake the cage. You know, look at us, we're nuts. And they take big pictures. Look, see, told you. Can't trust them. Can't trust them. This is what we do. We fall into the trap every single time. We take the bait. We're like a fish who sees the same fishing hook every day. We get caught every day. But every day it still tempts us. I don't know, maybe this time I'll get it. No, you're going to get caught again. It's just a reality. We need to wake up to our reality. We need to start behaving like we have everything. Because we do. We have everything. If Allah has given you life and breath and health, and you can still say Alhamdulillah, you can still worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have everything. And if Allah has given you above that, then consider yourself lucky and fortunate and more responsible for showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lastly, gratitude is the essence of the purpose of life. This is the essence of why Allah created us, to worship Him. To worship Him. True worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the purest form of gratitude. That you are giving that which Allah gave you, your body, your health, your time, all of that, and you're returning it to Allah. You're returning it to Allah. Allah gave you a free will. Yeah? Yes or no? You can go out right now and do whatever you want in the streets, basically. You could go out here and slap the first person you see on the streets. Nobody's stopping you. Nobody's stopping you. You can do what you wish. This is the free will that Allah gave us to choose. The purest form of worship and gratitude is understanding that what you're doing as a Muslim is you're taking that free will and you're giving it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying, look, I don't want to try to figure this thing out. I don't want to do my own thing. I want to do it your way. I want to do it your way. That's beautiful, gratitude. That's gratitude. Understanding, yes, I have a free will, but that doesn't mean I can do what I wish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested me with that. This is why Allah says that if man understood the test that he took, he would have taken it. He was ungrateful. He was oppressive to his own self. Because now we have to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was two stories, and we close. I met a blind boy. His video has been passed around on YouTube, and I love to watch it. Trust me, if there's ever a time where I start feeling like my gratefulness to Allah is waning, I remember this boy and I watched this video that I saved on my phone. 2-minute video. But I met this boy, alhamdulillah, when I went to Kuwait recently. He's one of the students of one of the imams of the Grand Masjid now. This boy is a blind boy. He has no vision. He's had no sight. And he used to go to a Qur'an teacher and try to learn the Qur'an, one of the most well, you know, one respected ones in his locality. But the Qur'an teacher didn't have, he had a lot of students, so he wasn't able to give him a lot of time. But this boy used to complain and complain to the Shaykh, give me more and give me more and give me more. And he didn't have time. The boy had an amazing ability to memorize, but he couldn't read the Qur'an in Braille or anything of that nature. And alhamdulillah, finally, he was able to start memorizing the Qur'an with some of the bigger shuyukh in Kuwait. And he was asked if he's happy now. He said, yes, I'm happy and I'm grateful. And then he made it a point. He made it a point. He wasn't asked. He made it a point. He said, I do not wish I ever had my vision back. Why don't you want your vision back? The Shaykh asked him, why don't you want your vision back? Why wouldn't you ask for that? Every boy wants to be able to see. He said, I don't want my vision back, and I wouldn't take it back if it was even offered to me, because Allah has blessed me with this blindness. My eyes will never be questioned the day of Qiyamah. I don't have to worry about being questioned about these eyes. These eyes don't have to see anything that are wrong or immoral or evil. Allah has blessed me in that like He has not blessed others for it. And I would not want it even if it was offered to me. This is what gratitude is about. This is understanding gratitude and understanding the plan of Allah. That this boy is blind because of the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe there's a wisdom and reason behind it. We got to learn to see through things. Like when Musa was taught by Khidr. What you see might not always be what's apparent and what's real. Might be something that worked behind the scenes. We need to learn to understand that. Lastly, I'm going to leave you with this. If you forget everything else I said tonight, I won't be upset. I won't be upset. But if you can try to remember this last thing, I guarantee you'll find a reason to be grateful for the rest of your life. And if you've heard me say this before, don't worry. Something I tell myself every single day to try to. How many of you were in this room were born and raised a Muslim? Raise your hand. Born and raised Muslim. You grew up knowing what Allah was. You grew up knowing the Quran. You grew up saying Salah. Alhamdulillah. How many of you came into Islam later into your life? You reverted to Islam. Got a few in the room. A few in the room. Doesn't matter. But for those of you born and raised Muslim, this should hit you a little bit even harder. What is the first thing that Allah created? A qalam, the pen. Allah created the pen first, or anything else. There's wisdom behind this. And what was the first command He gave to that pen? Uktub, write. And the pen wanted to know what to write. He said, write everything. Everything that will ever happen, anytime, any place, anywhere. The Prophet ﷺ said when he made his Isra wal Mi'raj, he said, that pen has been lifted from the paper and the ink has become dry. The Qadr of Allah has been sent. Everything is going to happen. I want you to think about something real quick. And remember this every day. And if this doesn't give you enough reason to have gratitude, then I can't help you, to be honest with you. Somewhere through that writing that happened thousands and thousands and thousands of years before Allah created anything else, somewhere along that journey of that pen writing on that paper in a book that is only with Allah, Allah commanded that pen to write your name. Allah commanded that pen to write your name. And then next to your name, Allah commanded that pen to write Muslim. What had you done to deserve that? What have you done to deserve that when you didn't exist? You didn't exist and Allah had already written it in a book that is with Him. Write this person's name. Write Ahmed. Write Muhammad. Write Fatima. Write Aisha. And write next to her name, his name, write Muslim. When I realized that, I knew for the rest of my life what I needed to do was to try to give as much servitude back to Allah as I could. Because I knew that Allah had in that book written with Him that write this boy's story and then write in December 1998, write, I guide him to Islam. I didn't earn that. Reading the Bible didn't bring me to that. Reading the Quran didn't make that happen. What made that happen was Allah had already written it for me and given it to me as a gift before I existed. What can I do to repay Allah for that? If I were to live the rest of my life worshipping Allah from morning to night and not sleeping and fasting every day and doing every act of good deed that one human being could possibly do, I will not have repaid enough. There won't be enough. If all of you donated me, all of your good deeds, if every human being on the face of this planet that's ever existed gave me all of their good deeds, and I tried to take that to Allah on the Day of Judgment and repay Him for that, I wouldn't have enough. And I think I deserve Jannah? You think you deserve paradise? Paradise is a gift. It's a gift. What you strive to get is forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this good that you try to do and the gratitude that you show to Allah. Hopefully that He'll let the rest go. That He'll forget the rest and pass by the rest. And then grant you Jannah as a gift that you don't deserve. Because you didn't deserve guidance in the first place. You don't deserve to wake up every morning. You don't deserve to eat. You don't deserve to breathe. You don't deserve to drink. You don't deserve any of it. And Allah gives it to you anyway. And even those who reject Allah, even those who disobey Allah, even those who knew Allah at one point in life and turned their backs on Him, Allah still gives it to them. What about you? And you walk around with a frown on your face. The most evil, tyrant. Allah gives them more and more and more. And you walk around as if you have something to complain about. Stop complaining. Stop complaining and start showing gratitude. This was the way the believers of the past were. This is the way the companions were. This is the way Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala was. You want to see a man who lived a life of gratitude? Read the life of Imam Ahmed. Read the life of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. You'll see men who lived gratitude even through hardship. When Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, Sudri, you can't take my happiness because Jannah is here in my breast. I have my Jannah and I carry it with me wherever I go. You can't take that from me. You can lock me in the deepest, darkest dungeon that exists on the face of this planet. But you cannot take away what I have because it's here. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala said, whoever does not live like they already have Jannah in this life, don't expect it in the next life. Allah is as you perceive Him. So remember that, brothers and sisters. Let's be happy. Show some gratitude. You might not always be able to find the thing to be happy about every day until you start reflecting on your own existence. Then you'll find more than enough reasons to show gratitude and smile when you see people and greet them and know that no matter what I might be going through, I might be sleeping on apartments tonight, I might be eating out of bins outside of the takeaway down the street, but I have Islam. I have guidance. I have deen from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm good. If I die tonight, alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase all of us. Hopefully, something I have said has benefited you. I have extended my time, but I felt that this needed to thoroughly be understood for the reality of the matter. That whether you have a little bit or you have a lot, just be grateful for it. Allah will give you more. Allah will give you more. This ummah needs to realize that the reason Allah is taking so much from us is because we haven't learned to be grateful for what we have. That's why He took it from us in the first place. Allah would have never taken dominion and leadership from this ummah had we not become ungrateful for what we have been given. So we need to wake up, inshallah ta'ala. As they say, so it's going to be alright. If you're a Muslim, you believe, it's going to be alright, inshallah. Regardless of how you see it, it's going to be alright. It's going to be alright. As long as you put your 2 feet in Jannah, it won't matter how you got there. Nobody will be questioning the other person, how did you get here? No, it won't matter anymore. We made it. We made it. Until then, we keep striving, we keep struggling, and we show gratitude. Like when Imam Ahmed's son, Abdullah, asked his father, when are we going to rest? Ya Abi, when are we going to rest? We struggle so hard, you've been through so much, when are we going to rest? He said, when we place both of our feet in paradise, we'll rest. Not even when one is there, but when you place both of our feet in paradise, then we rest. Any questions? We have time for a couple? Sure, absolutely, inshallah. Oh, really quickly, but before you go, as the brother mentioned, after Salatul Isha, inshallah, stay around for the refreshments and things of that nature. But you will also see a table with my DVDs. This is a project I've been doing for 8 years now, almost 9 years now. And the reason I've been doing it is to help spread the deen. Spread the deen. Because Muslims complain about not being able to give da'wah. They don't know how to talk, they don't have knowledge. I tried to kill that excuse by making these DVDs that you can hand to people and say, look, here's some information about Islam, watch it. If you have some questions, the guy at the end leaves you all of his information, you can get in touch with him, or you can ask me and I'll try to find someone who knows the answer. So I try to facilitate that for you. So I've been making the most professional DVDs I can to the best of my abilities. This is a project I do from beginning to end, and I've been doing it for 8 years, and trust me, if it didn't work, I would have stopped doing it and found something else a long time ago. Many people have accepted Islam. How many, I don't know, because I don't count, and I never have started to count, and will never begin to count, because it doesn't matter. It matters if Allah accepts it or not. But people have entered to Islam through this. But the way this project goes, this year alone, we've given away 50,000 of these DVDs. This year alone. The way this project continues is with your help. I couldn't give away 50,000 DVDs. It was a lot of money to make 50,000 DVDs. I put a lot of my own effort into it, because I own 2 businesses, and alhamdulillah, I've learned that if you want to be a da'i, become a tajir as well. You know, these 2 things go hand in hand. Become a merchant. This is how the companions did it. They had businesses. But I couldn't do 50,000. So I take these DVDs wherever I go and I sell them to you. And the reason I sell them to you is for 2 reasons. Number one, when you buy it from me, I can make 2 more. One of them goes back on the table and replicates the project. The other one, or if I can make 2, if the DVDs are cheap enough to make the time, then I give away 2 on your behalf. So I share in the hasanat, you share in the hasanat. And neither one of us is decreased in that. And the other reason I make you buy it is because I know if Muslims don't pay for it, they won't use it. If I give it to you for free, it's going to be on your dashboard, it's going to be in your glove box, it's going to be in the side, it's going to be somewhere. This is the way we do things. If I give it to you for free. But if I make you pay for it, oh, it's going to get used. I know how we are. Even if we paid £1 for it, that you better use it. That's just the way we are. So that's why I ask you, inshallah ta'ala. $15 in the States equals out to about £10 in the UK. That's why I ask for every DVD that you can copy. There's no copyright on it. You can make as many copies as you want. 1,000 if you want. Please make copies. If you can give £10, alhamdulillah, I can make some more. If you can give more than £10, alhamdulillah, I can make even more. If you cannot give £10, alhamdulillah, just give what you can and take it. Give what you can and take it. But that's between you and Allah. You know what you can give and what you can't give. But the request is 10 per each, so I can at least make two more, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum.
Brother Yushab, Jazal Khair, may Allah reward you with the highest of Jannah. Brother Usman, you spoke about the hadith of Abu Bakr and Hamla, where they describe the Imam going up and down. And I think this is something which affects us all throughout our lives. When our Iman is down, what steps would you recommend for us to take in order to bring it back up again to where we were, or even better before?
That's an answer that would take more than the time that we have available. There are plenty of things. This is one of the things that I have discussed in depth. I do teach a class on the psychology of Iman, how it rises and falls for Iman and things of that nature. And I'm not using this as a promo attempt, but one of the videos that you will find in the back, I made three especially for Muslims. For Muslims, one of them is weaknesses of Iman, answering the very question which he asked. But one thing that we do have to realize is that normally what causes the iman to fall, usually the opposite will cause it to rise. That's a good rule of thumb to remember. And the first thing that we have to understand is that when we forget Allah and become unmindful of Allah, this is the beginning phase of falling of iman. So good ways to increase iman is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dhikr, al-Qur'an, is our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without the Qur'an, we have no connection to Allah. None. Whatsoever. I know that's a bold statement, but it's not a statement that I've made. This is a statement that I heard from one of the greatest ulama of the Qur'an of our time. His name is Sheikh Abdullah Amin al-Shantiti, hafidhahullah ta'ala in Medina. He was saying that we have no connection to Allah, but through the Qur'an. In today's world, I'm thinking to myself, isn't Salah, and I asked him, humbly, isn't Salah, from the word Sila, connection, our connection to Allah. You know, his response was beautiful. He said, what Salah are you going to pray that you don't have the Book of Allah in it? And he quoted the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, any Salah that is devoid of the Book of Allah is invalid. Is invalid. So, this is our connection. This book, this Qur'an is Kalam Allah. This is the closest connection we have, and we recite the very words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These aren't Prophet's words. These aren't some human being's words. These are the words of the Creator of all things. You have to grasp that in your mind when you're reciting the Qur'an, that this is the Creator of the heavens and the earth who upholds everything with no effort speaking to you. So these are good ways. But in this video, in the DVD, or you can also find it on YouTube. You just look up Weaknesses of Iman. Or it's called Surviving the Storm or something like that. I actually did this talk in Leeds, I think last year or a couple of years ago, about weakness of Iman, how it rises and falls. Barakallahu feekum. Any other question? We'll take a couple more. That's it.
There's a question from sister.
Oh, question from the sisters. You mentioned Salatul Shukr. Can you briefly tell us how to pray it? Well, when it comes to praying Salatul Shukr, you can just pray 2 rak'ah and be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the dua. But what I was talking about was Sajdatul Shukr, when you just make sajda for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a sajda that can be made at any time, at any place that is clean. You don't necessarily need to be in tahara, you don't need to be facing the qibla per se. You can just make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, you can just make sajda to Allah and thank Him. Thank Him. In any direction. You just prostrate, as long as it's not, you know, to some grave or something that would be considered shirk, you can make sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Him for it. This is how the companions would react when they receive good news. They would immediately make sajda. They would even get down off their riding animal and make sajda. The Prophet ﷺ would do this when he would receive good news. He would make sajda for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Him for it. So, this is how you can do this. And it can be done at any time, regularly. Yes, brother.
What's the difference between shukr and hamd?
Shukr and hamd, you're asking now some questions that I'm probably not qualified to get into the details of. Shukr and hamd, you know, hamd is including a lot of categories. You know, hamd is inclusive of shukr, is part of this. Because praise, gratitude, thanks, all of these things are comprised into hamd. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began His book, Alhamdu Lillah. All of that belongs to Him. Ibadah is part of hamd. Shukr, anything that we give in service and gratitude to Allah is comprised in this hamd category. Shukr is the attitude of being grateful for what we have. That's what gratitude in its very essence means. Is that you understand what you have, where it came from, and you respond to that by being grateful. Even the fact, not just saying thanks to Allah. Even if you were to go out today, come across somebody, smile at them, and say, I hope you have a very nice day today. And you are doing that out of thankfulness for what Allah has given you, that would be considered having shukr for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? Even the sadaqah can be considered having gratitude to Allah. Allah gave me, I'm going to show gratitude by Allah by giving it to somebody else who needs. You see, all of that. So they have different attitudes, but hamd comprises a huge, large category of everything that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is to be given in ibadah or service or worship to Him. That is not the completeness of that, because I'm not qualified to go the depth of that, but they're two different attitudes. Inshallah. Any other questions? How many? 2 minutes? Okay, one more question. Anybody? And don't ask me thick questions or logistic questions. Even if I know them, I'm not qualified to answer them, and you shouldn't use me as a source of information. Yes, brother?
Like you said, in psychologically and with the iman, sometimes people are struck with a calamity. And yet, how can one... Not, I mean, because when a calamity comes, it just takes their concentration, just like Rishi didn't, and they forget about everything else. How can a person find a balance where the focus doesn't become the calamity, yet they manage to do shukr on other things, if you know what I mean?
Sure. The brother was saying that when calamity strikes us, some of the times the first thing we don't think about is praising Allah or being grateful to Him. We're just caught up in the moment. You know, how can we find that balance to where we don't get overtaken by this grief and calamity, but we still find a way to show servitude and gratitude for Allah? This is something that would have to be done in a lifestyle. There's no magic pill for that. And it's something that would become part of the aptitude of the human being. Because sometimes human nature is that when calamity strikes, is that we go into, you know, fight or flight mode. It's a reality. Like when I saw this Mecca disaster, you know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant those people the highest ranks of Jannah. We like to complain, we blame them on everybody. You know, we blamed it on the rulers, we blamed it, we found every reason to blame. And I guarantee you, none of those people who died are complaining about anything. They died in the best place on the planet Earth. They died on the best day, on a Friday, where if you die, you do not get questioned and not to the trial of the grave. And they also died from a wall falling on them, which is Shaheed. Allah chose those people. If you saw that incident, you saw those things come flying, it hit certain people and didn't hit the person standing right next to him. This was not some tragic accident. This was the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom He had chosen those people. You do not die a death like that unless Allah chose you for that death. So we gotta see the bigger picture in that. But there was one woman who was standing right next to her children, and that big part of the crane, the wheel part, came rolling through and smashed her two. First thing she did was take off running. You know, she didn't even think about her two children. And I'm, you know, some people are like, oh my God, how could she not see her kids and think about her kids? This is a flight or flight syndrome that is part of the human anatomy. That you just, this just happens. But it wasn't more than 5 seconds till she turned around and came back and looked for her children. So sometimes it might have that initial response. But if you've trained yourself to live a life of gratitude, then it will not be long before that remembrance comes back to you that this is part of the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, having good company helps with this. Having a good husband, having a good wife, you know, raising righteous children who remind you of these things are things that are truly beneficial. Because I've had many times where I've, you know, seen things very tunnel visioned and gotten into this complaint attitude, and my wife will remind me of things that I say all the time. Like, you remember saying this? And you know, it catches me. So this is part of having, this is also part of having good iman is having good companions. The Prophet ﷺ said, you are the deen of your ashab, your companions, your friend. Whoever you befriend, what their religion is, that's your religion, that's your deen. So be careful on who you befriend. So that's a good way to be able to deal with that, inshallah. Our time is up. Barakallahu feekum. Unfortunately, I wouldn't be able to stay and answer questions. Trust me, you have more qualified people in London to be asking questions to. You have giants of information here in the city of London that you should be taking advantage of. I'm just a guy who tries to come, you know, before the main event, there's always somebody who comes and hypes the crowd up, you know what I mean? He's a guy that gets the people focused on ready and they're ready to go. I like to see myself as that guy. That I get your mind mentally prepared and get you in that thought process to do something about the information that comes to you when I'm not here, inshallah ta'ala. So inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you, increase all of you. And if I don't see you again, forgive me for any harm I have caused or any bad that I have said, and any good that came from my visit today, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. And I just thank you for your time. And please do me a favor and come get some of these DVDs in the back so that I can continue to make them. There's about 8-9 titles and I don't want to drag them back to the States, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.